recently published in English by the Dorky Archive Press, and we're particularly pleased that copies of the memoir are on sale at a special discount rate,
mm-hmm.
I believe.
€10.
Just €10, bargain. And so Catherine from the publisher will be selling copies afterwards if you would like a copy. So our speaker will join us to speak for perhaps half an hour or so, and then you'll be warmly invited to ask any questions that you may have. With no further ado, thank you very much for your very kind words. Thank you very much for your coming here.
Such a lovely day. I'm sure you wanted to go somewhere else, but the schoolhouse here. So I'm delighted to see you all. I hope, can you hear me?
Yes.
As she has already told that, I came here in 1960. It's, believe it or not, since I've been here, with 3 years in the United States, from 65 to 1968. And my husband was working at Harvard University at that time. So I had to look after my son and daughter, but I had a plenty of time myself. So I used to go to Harvard University's art department, and I was told by the professor to see the Folk Art Museum. It belonged to Harvard University, where I heard about Chester Beatty, who is in England, but he may move to Ireland with his treasure that Professor Rosenfield very kindly taught me so many things about the Japanese art. That is the first chance I heard about Chester Beatty. Before we moved to United States, we've been here from 60 to 65, but nobody told me anything about Chester Beatty, and no way to know that. But I think it's really that, funny enough, I heard about his name in United States, because he, Sir Chester was born in New York, so the American, and he used to go to Japanese art dealer, Yamanaka Shokai. That's a company, Yamanaka Company, is based in New York and Boston. And that's a very famous dealer who had so many branches, so many famous collection, Chicago, Boston, and so many Japanese large collection are based from the Yamanaka Shokai's materials, so much so that even that part of Boston Museum's collection of by the Yamanaka Shokai's. So that's the reason why the Rosenfield knew about Sir Chester, because when Chester Beatty was a small boy, he used to go to the Yamanaka Shokai in New York to buy something about, snack bottles or small items which he could buy by his pocket money. So he used to go, because he was a mining engineer, so he was very fond of something very colorful, small items, like us, the snuff bottles we have in Chester Beatty's collection, so many, about that kind of things. He was, of course, he majored the mining engineering in the Columbia University, so much so when he was even small, he was very interested about that kind of things. So he bought several things, but the first thing he did is a small auction. He purchased that the snuff bottle, which still we have in Chester Beatty's collection. First item for his collection was a snuff bottle, Chinese, sniffing snuff bottle. That is very colorful. And I think he was fascinated about the color of that kind of, that material. That I think it's a when I was working with Chester Beatty, I always traced some kind of his way to collect something. It's all very colorful and so beautiful. Color was most important for him, so much so that the Japanese woodblock print or Japanese painted scrolls, everything is always so many beautiful colors. That I think he's from the very early stage, 10 years old, that didn't change at all. But that is really just that, because I heard about the Chester Beatty's name in the United States. That was coincidence. But when I came back here together with my family, I didn't think about Chester Beatty because I was so busy occupied by teaching Japanese. That time, Irish Japan Association asked me to teach Japanese, so I had classes, and also Japanese government, Irish government asked me to teach Japanese some young Irish diplomat. So I used to have them to my home, so I had pretty busy time. So I completely forgotten about Chester Beatty's name. Even I never thought of that. And then suddenly, 1968, I heard that the funeral was held, state funeral for Sir Chester Beatty. That, I think, everything came back to mind. Oh my God, that is the one who Professor Rosenfield mentioned. Then I bought so many newspapers. I read about him. And that is a very beginning. And it's very unusual for the foreigner had a state funeral in so must be very famous, very extraordinary people, person, I thought. But all the paper highly talked about him. So then I started to think about his work and his collection and so many other things, but no way to get there, because although so many people said about his collection is housed in Shrewsbury Road, but no way to go there. Then I just a few years passed without doing anything. One day I got 1970, I think it's the spring of 1970, I got just one chance call from Japanese embassy and asked me to go to Chester Beatty to meet a curator there, and she wanted to study Japanese. So I thought, I told embassy staff, I've been teaching Japanese, so please ask her to attend my class. But the answer came from the lady, the curator, and I have so many other things to ask you, so would you please come into Chester Beatty? So that the one chance call from embassy changed my life completely. From that day, I worked 10 years as a volunteer, because she was paid by government, but that those days, as you know, that the Japanese Irish government didn't have enough money to pay the two curators, so one for the Islamic curator and one for the Chinese Japanese curator. Those days, the trustees didn't realize difference between Chinese and the Japanese. Of course, if you know Chinese, probably they thought that can do the Japanese as well. And who was employed as a curator in the Chester Beatty, she majored Chinese in Durham University, but she never heard Japanese at all. But why she took this job, I didn't know. But anyway, she asked me to learn Japanese. So I said, well, that the please attend my class, but she said, no, no, I have to learn Japanese as quick as possible. So could you teach me every day? So I couldn't understand what she meant. And she told me, in fact, I have to tattoo Japanese print as soon as possible. So I thought I couldn't do teaching Japanese as well as cataloging together because I had not big knowledge about the Japanese print that time. So I was sure that, so I said to her, so I will come every day to teach Japanese as well as to cataloging from the scratch together. But she told me, I'm sorry, I cannot pay you. So I said, pay is not important for me. If I can learn something from the real Japanese material, I thought that's better than anything. So I started to work. So my lifestyle completely began that day onward. 10 years voluntarily I worked, and at that time, I managed to organize international symposium of Narai Hong, medieval Japanese painted scrolls. It's a quite amazing international symposium was held at Chester Beatty, which I organized. And still I wasn't paid, but I think it's my husband didn't say anything. My children didn't say anything because Mommy's art is better for children. So they didn't say anything. So I was very happily, I must say very happily, I used to go to Chester Beach every day, that time Shrewsbury Road, of course. And I really enjoyed to learn about the Japanese art. But it's not so easy task for me to do cataloging of Japanese ukiyo-e, about more than 1,000 we have, but even that Utamaro, Hokusai, those names are well known, and I, of course, I saw them in the Harvard University's Folk Art Museum, so I knew a little bit about that, but really, one by one, I have to catalog. That was, I thought it's really so hard task, but that is a point I thought I must have a challenge. So that I think I was amazed myself because I could study even until midnight those days. I studied about the ukiyo-e and then I helped the curator to catalog one by one. But because why at ukiyo-e, I didn't know, but she said, well, there was quite a big robbery. A few years before, I was asked to be there because it's some expert on ukiyo-e in Europe did big robbery for not only Chester Beatty, British Museum, Royal Albert, several big museums are very badly hit by this group of thieves. And so that's the reason why trustees of Chester Beatty wanted to have catalogs of Chester Beatty's the ukiyo-e collection first. That's the reason why that the curator asked me to help. So she didn't know what to do first, so that I was reading all the artists' names and titles and the poems and those things. And then, when I started to do that, and several months later, all those things should be back to Chester Beatty, but Chester Beatty's trustee didn't report for the police they are stolen, everything hidden. So didn't come back. And those things include so good materials. So I was in tears when I heard about the story behind. So I thought, my God, I have to do it as quick as possible. So I started to work day and night, and 1,000 things are cataloged within 3 years. And of course, those days we didn't have enough reference books. So I bought them by my own money and sent a email from Japan. And I think it's really, if I think about those days, I didn't know how I managed financially. But that's it. If you think about something so seriously, somehow somebody can help. I got a very nice, very wealthy friend in Japan. She was very, you know, that kindly asked me to send so many different books. Still, I have them in my house, and he's the one who came here for the symposium in 1978. We had a big symposium in Chester Beatty, and so many scholars from all over the world, about 40 scholars came over, and they highly talked about the collection. They never heard about Chester Beatty's collection until that time, so I was so pleased to be able to show them. And they had a week-long symposium, and the evening we had to go to the embassy's reception, or even that I think it's really that American embassy, because many American scholars also here. And in the group of American, I found out Professor Rosenfield from Harvard University. So he taught me about the Sir Chester's collection, and that symposium we met, that was very nice. I think I cannot forget that day I met him in the symposium. He was here, and the symposium was so successful, and that time Department of Education and had some kind of reception for the participants, and the embassy did quite a big dinner party, and so much so that the scholars wanted to come back following year as well. So I couldn't manage because I had to do other cataloging as well. So they said, okay, following year they will do it in Kyoto, in Tokyo and Kyoto. So that was wonderful. But Mrs. Ushioda, could you bring some stuff to Japan? Because I think they want to show them to Japanese public. So I had 2 bags full material from Chester Beatty's collection to Japan. And those days, trustee didn't allow me to go to the ordinary there wasn't business class those days. So I had to go to first class. Who paid that money? So trustee's order, but trustee didn't want to pay me. So again, my friend in Japan, and also I asked my father, and so somehow financially managed. Those days airfare was most unthinkably expensive. But my husband didn't say anything, so I did everything for the scholar's request. So much so that Chester Beatty's collection was well known among Japanese scholars, American scholars, French, and all over the world. That is the one which I still remember fully, that my effort wasn't in vain. So I think I could manage until my retirement, very happily worked. And so much so, this symposium is still continuing. Last summer, we had, and that the fourth time, and I got a mail from one of the scholars. Next year, they want to have it again. So that the representative of the scholars coming to see me on Thursday this week to discuss about the next year's symposium. Probably again, about 20 to 30 people coming to Chesterfield. Last year came about 30 people. So I think my beginning of the work, that by chance of telephone call from Japanese embassy, finally fulfilled, and I was so happy now. I retire, still I'm doing some kind of help for the present curator, as well as the American scholars who want to have some kind of exhibition as well as a symposium in Columbia University. Just a few days ago, I got a mail from Barbara Rusch, the American lady, who came here first symposium. Still she's corresponding with me by email these days. Those days, we didn't have a mail system, so everything by letter or those days, I think it's really, I couldn't use the English typewriter, so I asked my colleague, the curator, to do the computer, the typewriter, English typewriter. As you may have heard, a Japanese typewriter is so complicated. There wasn't any in Ireland. Only word processor was available for me. So it was a very slow job for me, but managed. If I could do that kind of things that time, why can't I do that now? So I tried to publish this English version, but 4 years ago, I published Japanese. This is a Japanese original. And this one is a quite many photographs. So just if you want to see this one. And that is so well received by Japanese, but many people here and in America and England, they wanted to have English version. So I started to translate, but my English knowledge is not very enough, good enough, so that my daughter and my son wanted to help me, but they have their own. In fact, my daughter was graduated here, and some of them knew my daughter, and she's living in England. My son is living in Stockholm, so they said they will help, but it's impossible for me to translate. I found a Japanese lady friend who lives not so far from my house. So she said, if she can some kind of help from my children, she said she will do, she tried to translate. So many people's combined effort made this book. So now you can read, and I think it's really that the publisher was so kind, American publisher, and that the Irish branch is just around the corner. She works there, and she did a wonderful job for the launching party, that's the 2nd of February. So much so that even from Japan, the Amazon, and they ready, and so now it's really for my time to thank you, everybody, to come here for my talk, as well as the publisher. So And I think so many people phoned me after the launching and after they read the book. But the one thing which I really would like to, some of them are, oh, some of you read my book or not, but just I think it's really, it's very interesting. Two episodes from my book, I think that is interest you. If you haven't read, I'm sure you will be able to purchase the book. First, I think you shouldn't work on Sundays. I think just that this is a very beginning, 1960, when we came here with a little boy. I came here, lived in Monkstown, and then that you shouldn't work on Sundays, so said an early Irish, very elderly Irish gentleman in perfect Japanese, smiling as he watched my husband proudly washing his Morris Minor, a first car. He loved that, he washed every Sunday. And then with my toddler son, just running around the front garden, amongst the number 40, Alma Road, that's the corner house. So we set aside our course to chat with impressive old gentleman who was fluent Japanese and who lived with his wife in a small cottage across the from my house, the Monkstown Road, and the other side is a little cottage. Still that cottage is there. It wasn't long before we became very close friends. William Gray was his name. He retired Anglican minister. He and his wife, who lived in Japan before the Great War, long, long time ago. He was born in Ireland in 1875 and graduated from the School of Divinity in Trinity College, Dublin. He moved to Japan in 1905. And stayed in Tokyo until 1914. During this period, he married Sophie Mary, then a student of the University of Sacred Heart in Japan, whose parents are also missionaries. After their wedding, they spent their honeymoon in Nikko. So many stories he remembered, he told us. Mr. Gray showed us photographs from the period. It made him very happy to recount their memoirs of the time they spent in Japan. After returning to Ireland with the intervention of two world wars, he had sadly lost touch with his Japanese friend. One day, I happened to be reading a copy of the weekly Asahi magazine that we had sent over regularly by surface mail. Starved with anything Japanese. So to read in Ireland in the 1960s, we couldn't find any Japanese material. So everything sent by sea mail. I would always devote each issue from the cover to cover of those magazines. On this occasion, I came across the article entitled The Father of Sports. one of the questions posed was, who is the father of hockey in Japan? Believe it or not, the answer it gave us, the late Mr. Gray, in English minister working St. Andrew's Church in Ikura, Minato-ku, Tokyo. Mr. Gray, my God, I thought it's really something that time. Could that possibly be our neighbor, Mr. Gray, who said, don't work on Sunday? We wondered, we visited him soon to find out that me, in his tear, he replied, and his wrinkled face filled with tears. I cannot forget that day, a sight I never forget. Over the next few days, I wondered how to inform people in Japan that Mr. Gray was in fact very much alive and well and living in Ireland. I decided to write a letter to the editor of Asahi Shimbun, and this letter generated a huge amount of interest in Japan. I cannot forget the day by day I received a letter from Japan. I flood of letters started to arrive in one letter box from people who had known Mr. Gray and ended up spending my time translating those letters for Mr. Gray. Letters came from people who had known and played hockey with him, very elderly, very distinguished Japanese gentlemen, but taught by him. He has introduced the game to the student. Keio University, it's a famous university, still exists. 1906, he started to teach the game of hockey. Japanese never heard of the game, so he had to borrow the things from the foreigners, the group in Yokohama. He hired one stick and one ball, and he showed the game how to play, and that is from the scratch he taught them. That is the one. Letters also arrived from people who really joined Keio University's hockey club, Gray Club. Gray is the Mr. Gray's name, and also the people very old, gray hair, so that they made Gray Club. Those people who played, still some people write to me, and Mr. Gray's grave, Mount Jerome Cemetery in Dublin, sees nearly every year, particularly summertime, visitors from Japan. So I think it's really that don't work on Sunday, that unforgettable meeting also ended so happily. Now still they do that some kind of celebration with Mr. Gray's Day in Keio University. So I think it's really that those days I just had my time fully for those things, so I could do that kind of before I start work in Chester Beatty. So I had just like my family, Mr. and Mrs. Gray are like my parents, and my children thought it's the grandparents. So that the neighbor, that real Japan and the island was amalgamed in the Monkstown. My first house where the still, if I pass that area, I remember that day he said, don't work on Sunday. Still my still my children said, mommy or daddy, you shouldn't work on Sunday. That is our joke. But I think it's a really very good chance to know each other. And also, he was delighted to have a contact with the people who he taught. Okay, many, many, many years ago, before I think Meiji Emperor's time, I think. So he couldn't believe that the people he taught, okay, in those days, remembered him very well, and so much so, he was invited. That's a 1968, I think it's the Olympic game was held in Tokyo. He was invited for those people, but he bought, he got a ticket and everything, but he fell very ill, so he couldn't make it, and asked us to go there, but we are so busy and we couldn't make it. But I think it's the generosity of the Keio Universities, the group, still great club, is still existed. Every year I get a Christmas card from some people who was taught by him and heard about him. And the hockey is pretty common among Japanese. That was, I think, introduced by very tiny old gentleman, Mr. Gray, and we call Gray-san. So, thank you very much for your patience with listening to my.
Indeed, that was fascinating, and I know you could have spoken for much longer, but I think people will have questions, so please do raise your hand if you'd like to ask Mrs. Ashioda anything.
Hello, my name is
Ashioda.
And I'd like to ask you if the Chester Beatty Foundation, the Chester Beatty Foundation, in fact, ever started paying you as a curator properly to repay you for all that you have done.
I don't know, but I think it's really, I didn't work for money. So I think it's really that I learned from the collection. So I owe something to Chester Beatty. So that's a way I think. Because I think it's a learning from real, very first-class material is better than attending classroom to learn. That, don't you think so?
A great debt of gratitude assumes you.
Absolutely, that's a very generous attitude. Do you want to?
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you for a very interesting talk. And thank you also for publishing your book in English, because I've enjoyed
thank
reading
you
very
much.
You came to Ireland in 1960,
yes,
which is before the Japanese embassy was opened here.
Yeah.
So when you arrived, how much did the Irish people you met know about Japan, or what level of awareness do you
find? Oh, that's a very good question. That I think is that when we came here in 1960, no Japanese. Of course, embassy wasn't here. But believe it or not, this year 60th anniversary of the, you know, that's it sounds a bit funny, but those days, I think 60 years ago, Japanese embassy in Netherlands had some kind of here, so that 60 years ago. But Japanese embassy here was opened 1964, so until now that we acted as a Japanese ambassador and ambassador's wife. So every time when we have some distinguished guests from some, so always we are asked to be there, and also no Japanese friend, but there was, there is still is a, you know, that what's called advanced studies, what's called
Institute
of Advanced Studies, that I think many theoretical physicists were working there, and time to time Japanese physicists came over, so that this, always they one by one came to our house to have a Japanese meal, and so that I think those people are just one by one talking. I was, if you go to Ireland, you can meet Ushioda's, can have a Japanese meal there. So about 3 months or 6 months period, that's so many physicists visited. So still we have now many Japanese theoretical physicists. It's, believe it or not, I think some of them are, think is really keen to settle down here, but I think her parents wanted to have him back, so the, still he's dying to come back here to live. He's 90. So yeah, so that we managed somehow, but it's a very difficult time because so many Japanese wanted to have some kind of business here, but nobody can give any the kind of help, so that it, we managed to help them to organize I think it's some kind of yes, several people asked us to organize the thing. So the embassy, the Netherlands, that time, that's a great help. We just made some contact, and they will send the secretary or first or third secretary used to come here to organize something for us. So I think we worked between Japanese and Irish, and go between the embassy in Netherlands. Yes, but the Irish people are so kind to us. So I think it's really that we never had any trouble. So I think Japanese visitors, I think, didn't know what to do at the airport. Always somehow they found out our telephone number. Yeah. So that I think it's really that somebody came over, I think it's at the airport, and he was asked by, he was told by somebody in Japan before he left, if you go to Dublin Airport, ask Dr. Ushioda's name. So that we didn't know who they are, but still we had, my husband has to go to the airport to meet. And so many works we have done for them. That's a so kind of embassy's work, as well as our own things. And then I started to work for the Jesuit. It's very, I think because we are young those days, we could manage. And the Irish are so kind. One thing I want to say, from 1960 to onward here, I never had anything I regretted. so kindly treated.
Wonderful.
So I never, I think you don't believe me, but truly, I always had a wonderful time, and still I have. So a few weeks ago, the snowed in. Can you believe this? Every day, Irish friend brought us something to eat. And even we didn't ask them, how are you? It's okay. Yes, okay. But I'm sure you want to have this kind of hot soup. I have so many things which I never tasted. Irish stew. And it's really, I can't express my gratitude for the Irish kindness. So otherwise, I'm sure I didn't hear, I'm not here today. So, and also, when I started to work just a bit more, I neglected my children's education, but somehow they managed to study by themselves. It's the best way for them to study. So much so, my daughter is now, it's really that graduated here, and then got a PhD in TCD, and now she's working in England, but she is highly talking about Irish people in where she's teaching now, Warwick University. So many people, Japanese PhD student from Tokyo to come to the Warwick, and after she they finish PhD, always on the way, they come to Ireland. We have to entertain them.
we have a few questions queued up. You had a question there,
Tom. Well, mine partly answered, but I'm just wondering, did you have English when you arrived?
Not at all.
So that must have been very difficult.
Yes, those days, I think even I wanted to have a milk. I have to say a few words, pint of milk, and so that one by one, my husband had a very good English, because he wanted to go to America after finished, he got a PhD, so he learned English, but very much American English he learned while he was in Tokyo. So when he came here, UCD, everybody said, Sato is his name, Sato. Why do you speak American English? it's not a Japanese English, American English. That's in Japan those days, everybody spoke American English. But I didn't have, because I majored Japanese literature,
yes.
So I didn't study English properly.
I was wondering, maybe among those Japanese, very few people in Dublin in the 60s, did you know a judo teacher called Mickey?
Hmm?
Mickey.
Mickey.
No, I happen to know. He's probably around your age.
Judo.
He taught judo in Dublin in the 60s.
Oh,
and he's still teaching in Tokyo,
yes,
now.
Yes, judo or karate or so many people.
But you wouldn't have.
I met a karate instructor, but the judo, I heard about, but I never met.
Doctor? Just a comment, you mentioned there that you were young then. I think all of us would feel here that you will be eternally young.
We'll probably have time for one final question if anyone would like to pose one. Yes, please.
And do you work on Sundays?
Do you work on Sundays? No. Sunday is, I think it's a not working day, but I think, yes, I have to work Sunday sometime.
Well, on that note, I think that brought things round to where we have over very nicely. Please join me in just a moment in thanking our speaker another time. I would like to just let everybody know the next Trinity Centre for Asian Studies event, which is 2 weeks today, a public lecture in the evening in the arts building, this big concrete building that one floor up. We have Dongjin Kim speaking about the Korean peace process and civil society. towards strategic peace building. So we're moving from Japan to Korea. And obviously here in the Center for Asian Studies, we also cover China. We have an MPhil in Chinese studies. Delightful to be able to cover this different parts of East Asia. I should also mention perhaps that earlier that afternoon UCD have a related event on modern politics and East Asian thought, and since we're going from Trinity to UCD, and then people will be coming from UCD to our public lecture in the evening, so it's nice to have complimentary events that day. So that's Tuesday the 3rd of April, 6:30. And information is on our website and on Facebook and everywhere else. So do look us up, join our mailing list if you'd like to come to future events here. But please join me once again in thanking Mrs. Ashiodo on a really fascinating. The memoir is for sale in our office, just if you want to kind of go out the way you came in and through the door on your desk. I'm really looking forward to reading the book now.
Hello, I didn't recognize you.